And welcome back to Coast. A couple guests for you this hour, of course, back. George Hawes, member of the Society for Planetary SETI Research, founder and the premier investigator of the Cydonia Institute. He is a member of both the Pre-Columbian Society of the University of Pennsylvania in Washington, D.C., the noted author of the Cydonia Codex, the Martian Codex as well. That's George Hawes. And John Lavasseur. First time for him. He's a member of the Society for the Planetary Research, a veteran instructor of math and science at the Northern Maine Community College. He has co-written an article with George William Saunders and Dr. Horace Crater, which they are going to be presenting to the Space Technologies and Applications International Forum, which is coming up next week, as we talk about what the heck is going on Mars. First of all, George, welcome back.
Hi, George. Thanks again for having me back on Coast to Coast. It's good to hear your voice.
Yep, I'm looking forward to this. And John, we'll call you JP. It's good to have you with us.
Hi, George. JP Lavasseur up here in Northern Maine.
Super. So you two, tell me about yourself. George, how did you get together with JP?
We're both members of the Society for Planetary SETI Research, so we do a lot of communication back and forth in our forum. But last year, After Bill and I had finished the documentary that we were working on that we talked about last time we were on your show, we were actually working on trying to put together ideas for a third book that we were going to put out. And I had done some research looking for some images of this profile image, because we were going to feature that in the book. And I was going through some of the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter high-rise CTX images, and I found that NASA had taken about 15 to 20 images of this formation in this area. And all of the images were labeled that they were doing this a dust rising event monitoring that they were doing. I guess there's a lot of dust that's blowing around in that area. So there was a lot of images of this Nefertiti face, or the profile face, as PJ calls it. But our JP, sorry.
And, you guys will get it sooner or later.
Yes, we will.
Well, I've been calling him John, but he'd rather me call him
JP.
So
that's right.
I might call him John, so be careful.
That's fine.
So anyway, so we found these images, and Bill and I decided that instead of just doing a chapter in a book, this was something that we might want to do a science paper on. So I contacted Dr. Horace and JP, and ask them to join us to put this paper together. And basically, that's how it started.
All right. And JP, tell me, what got you interested in Mars?
Oh, my goodness. I'm from that generation back in the late 60s when the moon landings hit, right? Right. Yeah. Out of parochial school and getting into high school. And that inspired a lot of us. Of course, isn't Mars the next step?
Yeah, it sure did. It got you too, George, didn't it? Same way.
I was, of course, when I was in school in the 60s, we all thought that we were all going to be living on the moon, and that kind of disappeared. And of course, I got interested in Mars with the advent of all the interest in the face on Mars. So that's what got my interest.
Yeah, it's just been an amazing planet, and what a run. JP, I'll be throwing these questions to both of you this hour, but tell me a little bit about the Society for Planetary SETI Research. Who's behind it? How did it form?
Oh, sure. Well, we're a group of researchers, about 30, 35 of us, that have that common interest in the Mars anomalies and on the moon and Mars primarily. And, of course, anybody who's familiar with all the Cydonia work, it's a who's who of a lot of these folks that have written articles and books. Of course, you know Vince DiPietro and Greg Molinar.
I sure do.
The D&M pyramid. Mark Carlotto, of course. Dr. Horace Crater has been our president for a while. Stanley McDaniel, of course, founded it back in 94. And of course, there's Tom Van Flander. Now, notice that we have that first picture of the face on your website there. That's the one that Dr. Van Flander used at the conference down in Washington, D.C. that I had a pleasure of meeting meeting him face-to-face down there, that's that colorized, that pink colorized
business. Yeah, that's it's amazing. Stuff.
Yeah, and of course, there's a bunch of, there's Dr. Alexei Arkhipov in Ukraine. I haven't heard from him for a while. I hope he's okay over there. And of course, there's a whole host of other researchers that we like to work together.
And George, what's the effort of the organization? What are you trying to find out?
One of their focuses is to, like JP said, is to, you know, get together and work on some of these anomalies that we're finding on Mars. And the goal is for them to produce science papers and, you know, to expand this research.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the Society for Planetary Study Research site, they have a page that has all the publications of all the journal science papers and things that have been published by the members. A lot of Dr. Mark Corlato and Stanley McDaniel and Dr. Horace Crater. And so those are all on the site. So that's basically, it's trying to, you know, foster the exploration of these anomalies in a real scientific way.
Yeah, and I should point out, of course, that Tom Van Flandern passed away several years ago. He is missed. His research was truly remarkable. The paper that you're going to present, JP, that you, George, and Sanders and Horace put together, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's a matter of analyzing this face you see that everybody calls the Nefertiti face. We don't like the name Nefertiti because it has these connotations that, you know, that are, we don't really mean. The reason it's called the Nefertiti face is in part because of Dr. Van Flandern during that conference became known that way. But I think a lot of people when I show this picture to people, I have like a 5-second window.
Yeah.
Either they don't see anything, and then I just say, well, okay, or they see right away what we're talking about. And they go, oh, yeah, you know, they might not buy into the artificiality idea.
Sure.
But they see what we're talking about right away, and the name Nefertiti just comes out of their mouths, you know, volunteered, or something about Egypt. And, of course, George, knowing a lot about Mesoamerica, sees some other things there. But we made an effort to analyze this thing as best we can, and make an argument that it probably had been made, that it can't be a geological fluke. Some people will look at it and realize, yeah, that is a pretty good face.
Well, you know, when you look at the Nazca lines in Peru and then compare it to this, there is a kind of an uncanny similarity there. Did you see that, George?
JP said that, you know, we're trying to analyze this and figure out how this thing was made. And Saunders and I, when we started working on the paper, we thought this was the headdress and the face and the eye. If you look at the eye is exquisite. I mean, there's an iris and there's eyelashes. It's amazing.
And there's an eyebrow, too.
There's an eyebrow.
Yeah.
And it appears to have been etched and, or, you know, gouged into the as a relief. Into the surface, and that's where JP kind of got the idea and ran with it, that there was some type of seepage coming in there causing this dark coloring, and I think he can talk more about that.
Yeah. How big is this depiction on the planet, by the way?
Well, if you look down the slides that you have on your website, slide D, it's about a click across, a kilometer across. Interesting.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear you ask questions like that. Very seldom do I have anybody ask me about relevant things, you know, like what's the scale, what's the resolution.
Yeah.
You know, people often have a looking at clouds type of effect without really, and have a sort of a response about it without really asking a lot of that kind of thing. Yeah, it's big. We're talking Mars Global Surveyor images.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right. The narrow swath images are probably 3 kilometers across, right? And this occupies a full third of one of those, of this particular, of two of the images. We have two Mars Global Surveyor images of this area and taken at different times. And George found some contact images by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter taken a decade later, and there's two of those. So we have four good images of this area, and this thing persists with different cameras, different times, and under different conditions.
Yeah. Is there any carved out structure here, JP, or is it simply flat on top of the ground?
Oh, boy, don't we go to great lengths to do this. It looks like that the dark areas are depressions, but not radical depressions, and that the light areas that you see are slight elevations. If you scroll down further to the, is it the last pick? Yeah, down there, image G, if you're on the Internet,
yeah.
You'll see that there's a deep pit off to the left in the EO5 image. So we've looked at some Mars Orbiter laser altimeter data. Do you know what that is? That there's an altimeter on the spacecraft that sends pulses down to the surface, and like a sonar device sort of times the response, and we can get some elevations of the area. We believe that the dark colorations are the, you know, it's an outie, not an innie. That it's the dark areas are low. And if you look at, up to the top of image G, that's how I kind of started to study this thing. We were looking at the seeps and stains, the what appears to be fluid on the surface. Are you familiar with Efren Palermo's work with the seeps and stains?
No, I am not.
That would be a great episode for your show. Basically, what it is, it appears that there's fluid being ejected from this fault at the top of that image, and it appears to flow downhill. We showed it was downhill into that deep pit, and into the area of the face. So I suspect that those are possibly even wet areas there, and it's present in one of the images, but not the other, which would be an interesting question to try to answer. I don't think it's a seasonal effect. I noticed that Mike Barra talked about vegetation in the earlier segment.
Right.
And I'm thinking maybe that might be part of it. Why? What the colorations are about, that might be vegetation, and there's lower, wetter areas. But that's like 3,000 words that I threw out of the paper. That can be hard to do.
Is it my interpretation, or does it seem this planet, Mars, seem to have a lot of Egyptian-type influence?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that, of course, that's why people say Nefertiti when they look at it. That's a whole eye, even on a profile. Isn't that common in Egyptian art? And if you see a crown like we do, doesn't that remind you of Egyptian?
The
name Cairo was originally Mars.
There are many
Mars Egypt connections, and of course, like, you know, George talked about the Mesoamerican connections too, so we can make a lot of these pyramidal structures. The DNM's a 5-sided. Did you know that the Great Pyramid at Giza is really an 8-sided pyramid? It has a crease down the side. So yeah,
I did not know that. Yeah.
The pyramids, these faces, it reminds us of Egypt. It reminds us of Earth, that there's an Earth-Mars connection there. That's a human face.
Yeah, now, let's get into the old syndrome. You know, you look at a cloud pattern and you could see the shape of a dog or something like that. Might we be looking at that here?
You mean like looking at clouds and just illusions?
Yeah, you have these illusions, or, you know, there were things that I would, you look at the ceiling of a textured ceiling of your house.
Oh, sure.
And you see little things and you go, hey, look, that looks like a face. Are we looking at that here?
Well, I'm seeing your face in the nap of the carpet right now.
See?
Let me be honest with you. Throughout all the study that I did with Macedonia and everything else, have always been in this tortured doubt. You know, am I really, are they right when they're saying this? You know, and am I really too imaginative? Am I seeing things? But I think when I saw this profile face, much of that dissipated. There is a point where it's getting so good that just at some point becomes utter nonsense. But when someone tells me, you know, it's like looking at clouds, I usually say, well, clouds don't come with ancillary data. What we're looking at is our real surface features,
right,
on a real planet, and that they're accurately depicted in this remote sensing acquired images, and that, you know, that there's a face there is not in question. I can put my photometer on the image or look at pixel values. The question is it artificial? You know, that there's a face there is not in question. That there's a face there is not an illusion. We need to get past that business.
Yeah.
To say, well, okay, is it artificial? And of course, it's, you know, there's a lot of other things besides faces and things. There's all the pyramids, and we found a lot of pyramids and other structural type things. And George and I wrote a whole piece in the paper about that we looked at terrestrial examples that we found out that people do that kind of stuff and do it a lot. You no doubt are familiar with Nazca, and
mm-hmm.
people may have heard of the Blythe intaglios. There's hundreds of these all up and down the Colorado River, human figures and other sorts of things. We'll see this all both modern and ancient. You know, maybe you've heard of Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Of course,
you've heard of you know, Mount Rushmore. And,
yeah.
You know, so that sort of thing is, I think, the problem people have is that it's on Mars, right? Isn't that always the problem?
And it's probably somewhat weathered, but it still looks pretty darn good, doesn't it?
I think it's an excellent face. Like I say, when I saw that, a lot of that self-doubt I had dissipated. I think that thing's too good. If you just look at just the eye, scroll down and look at the blow-up of the eye, you know, you've got a pointed oval lid aperture there, a sclera, the white part, an iris, the pupil. You have lashes. The lashes are at the top. There are even tarsal sections. Just the eye itself is astonishing enough, to me anyway. And that's located exactly where it needs to be with other features of a face. I see a cheekbone there. All the it puts me over the top. I really can't say that has to be a fluke. I'm leaning towards artificiality. That thing had to have been made, right?
And where is this, JP, in relationship to the face on Mars?
Oh, good. Yeah, you're familiar where Valles Marineris is, this 3,000-mile-long cavern, not cavern, but chasma. It's just southwest of that area in a place called Ceria Planum. In an elevated area, and if you go to my little website that I have this IT guy that's just fantastic, Robert Smith, that works here with the college with me, and he put together a little website that we've had for a while called Mars Artifacts. I think if you click on the
we've got the link for you.
Yeah, if somebody goes there, they can get access to the images and get other information about it if they want. It's a good resource for that sort of thing.
Okay, well, stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more about this, your work, and we'll take some phone calls next. Next hour, Dr. Michael Sala joins us as we talk about his thoughts on some strange anomalies on Mars. And we'll be back with more with George Haas and John Lavasser in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Haas with us, John Lavasser with us as well. We call him JP, and we'll take your phone calls for the rest of this half hour with both of them as well. Back to this face for a moment, George. Your overall impressions of this, why it was made, why it was constructed?
Well,
what it looks like is that it is a some type of low impression that's etched into the surface, and that, of course, we have all the seepage coming in there, giving it the dark color. It's probably some type of large geoglyph commemorating some important woman. She's got a large headdress that's usually a symbol of royalty. She's young, beautiful. She has beautiful eyelashes. Might have been a movie star. Who knows? It doesn't look like anything that we've seen over in the Sidonia area, where there's a lot of things that, like the face on Mars, is bifurcated. It's got the feline and the human side. Mm-hmm. This is just a beautiful portrait, a profile, and which just goes to show that there's so much going on Mars that we really are just scratching the surface here. No pun intended.
How about your thoughts, John?
Oh, about what it all means?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a message here, isn't there?
Well, yes. And, I think it's can be a bit of a disturbing message. This is a planet. Dr. Brandenburg mentioned this earlier. This place was destroyed. It looks like there was something going on up there, and the whole place is gone.
Yeah,
and I think there's a message there for us that I think we can learn something from all this. I don't know who this is or what or how this all connects with all these other lines of evidence in Sidonia and other places on the planet, but it most certainly looks like they have art similar to us. That's a human face. They looked like us. Maybe they are us. Or related to us. I mean, we're speculating now.
They may be us. Who knows,
right.
Huh?
We're speculating now. We don't know. But I think there's much to be learned there. And that's one of the things we do in our papers recommend, that some Mars missions, future missions, should have some level of priority to look into this from this point of view, that these are potentially artifacts there. And what we can learn from all that.
Well, I'm not sure that if they were attacked, let's say, from an outside source or force that John Brandenburg thinks, I don't think they would have had time to construct or to etch a face for some kind of reason or symbol. I think this was done prior to their destruction, don't you?
George? Yeah, sure.
I agree with that. This stuff is after the, or this stuff was built
before
the event that Dr. Brandenburg
wiped
was talking
them out.
About.
Yeah,
and that may be why we talk about in the paper. There's these shiny mounds also dispersed around the space, and these shiny objects. I mean, a lot of the structures in Sidonia have a very highly reflective surface. I mean, they almost look like they're highly polished, and this could have been some type of reaction to this nuclear event.
JP, what are these little shiny dots all over that picture?
Yeah, we've come to call those the shiny mounds, and we've been theorizing what that is, and what we think is that these are debris that are flung in there from impact craters nearby. We've even identified a few. They all converge down into a completely bright area at the southern part of the image, and it looks like what's happening there is that these are great chunks that were flung in there like a paintbrush splatter. Some of them land in the lower elevations and some higher. The ones that are in the higher elevations remain bright. The ones that landed in the lower elevations are probably colorized to some extent by this fluid and potential vegetation. The larger pieces, of course, that land in the pits remain bright at their tips, right, because they don't sink completely in. But they look like a random splattering effect from nearby crater impacts and combinations of crater impacts. They strike against that elevated area in the northeast section, what I like to think of as like an umbrella-looking thing, and bounced off to some extent. So the shiny, we took a long look at those shiny mounds because the They do align with the nose a little bit, but they look pretty random.
What I also find fascinating is you know how you know, women will pull their, you know, will do their makeup with a little flash by the end of their eye that where it kind of just comes out more like a cat look. That's you've got that on this picture.
Yeah, she's got some serious mascara on the eye.
She does. Amazing. Let's take some calls. Karen is in Smithtown, New York, east of the Rockies. And Karen, welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Welcome to the show.
I'm a listener. I have a very serious question to ask these gentlemen. I have some image data that I took directly from the Mars Express ESA project, and I took it right off the internet from the ESA site, and I wondered if these gentlemen had ever really looked at those images.
George, JP?
Oh, we're not.
Images
we're
in
not
particular from the ESA? They've taken a lot of surface images.
From Mars Express, the 2005 project with the two super stereo cameras. And the disclaimer that they had not changed anything on any of the images. Have you seen them?
I'm not familiar with it. Well,
okay.
I've made some effort to find, you can imagine, finding more images from all the image archives of this area.
And, may I say that if what I have, and I made a little video, if what I have is real, which it's hard to believe, then everything anybody ever told us, anyone ever told us about Mars is a lie.
Tell us what it was, Gary.
Tell me.
I will tell you that I downloaded, directly downloaded TIFF images and TIFF files. And I know that one of the things people did was, what these people did was smudge the pictures. So, and I had seen, gotten a hint about this from somebody else who was doing something on the internet. But just as a lark, because I'm a scientist, I downloaded them, and I picked a couple of craters, and I changed the contrast in a regular
Paint Shop Pro 5,
an old thing. I changed the contrast, and you cannot believe what I have. You just can't believe it.
Well, what do we have? Tell us.
Well, we have a very large crater, and in one little corner of the crater, we have pictures of people, and we have a little, I heard this the other night, too, as a matter of fact, listening, a doorway with a little thing over it and two people sitting outside, and we have machines and mining machines and telescopes and all kinds of robots, and one robot is bringing in a plane and rowboats. And
you can clearly see that.
Clearly. It's clear as day. And there's a cave on one side of this crater, and inside the cave there's a large statue, and the rowboat is as clear as possible. There's a boat that would be like a U-boat or something, and there are people in it, and then there are people in white suits, you know, like space suits, and some people with
Can you get us a copy of this video, Karen?
I sure can. I've been trying to get it to George Norrie for many years because it frightened the hell out of me.
Still,
send it to us.
I wanted to meet a scientist at Stony Brook University that worked on the rover project, and I was going to bring the CD over there, but I was terrified because it's not just one crater. And here's the concept. Here's the problem. ESA claims that they did this huge project, and they have these two stereo cameras, and they didn't alter any of the pictures at all.
Right. I remember them saying that.
Right.
Yeah,
and
stereo.
You have to imagine that in one, I have one crater, which looks like a very brown picture, and in the lower right-hand corner, maybe a quarter of an inch by a quarter of an inch, if you enlarge it, there's a town. There are three cars. There's a bridge. There's a silo. It looks like there's a little bit of white smudge over the cars.
Huh.
And
I tell you what.
And I so terrified that the black suits would come after me that I never made. I made the appointment at Stony Brook, but I never went.
I tell you what to do. Right after the show, get it to me. Send it now, as a matter of fact. I'll look at it after the show And George and JP, we'll make sure that our staff gets you a copy of it, okay?
Sure, I'd love to.
Sure, get us a copy. We'd love to take a look at that.
How easy, JP, is it to doctor with the kind of computers that we have today and put little pictures of little cars and little people and stuff like that and make it seem to blend in?
Oh, very easy. I could put your head on an old Arnold Schwarzenegger body picture and make it look pretty realistic.
Well, let's put his head on my body. Why don't we do that?
All right. No, yeah, you're right, though. It's very easy to do that. So to a certain extent, I'm not going to get we were talking about paranoia there earlier. How paranoid am I going to get? But when I download these images from, you know, the websites, I believe that these are posted in good faith, that the images are not doctored,
right?
In that I don't have any reason to believe, to doubt that what I'm looking at was fixed somehow.
Sure.
That what I'm looking at is real. But boy, you're right. You can really make it look any way you want.
Karen,
yeah, I mean, if you just search the internet, you can find all kinds of supposedly images of Mars that have all kinds of strange things going on. And a lot of it just looks like it's been fabricated. And if you go back and locate the original NASA image, that stuff's not there.
When we process our images, we're careful to keep track of what we do. Like a lot of the ones that you see on the site there, like image D, for example, will increase contrast, which makes the dark pixels darker and the lighter pixels lighter, right, to make things stand out. And we keep track of how much we do that. And we also might increase brightness, which increases the brightness of every pixel. But that tends to be about it. We're not adding or taking away or changing the values of these individual pixels in any other way.
All right, Karen, George at coasttocoastam.com. Send it. I'll look at it right after the show. Let's go to Eric in Seattle. Eric, take it away.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Eric. Thank you.
I'm on speakerphone. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. Hi, John. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah, you may remember me as Photon or possibly Johnny Danger back in the day.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Johnny Danger.
How you doing?
How the heck are you?
Photon.
Oh, I'm fabulous. Glad to hear you guys are getting a little publicity on this stuff. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the out-of-frame hypothesis. Are you going to talk about that?
Oh, my goodness. So you're one of the Puma guys. Oh, thank you for asking that.
What is that?
Well, this takes me back, Photon. It's been a while. I saw this. I have this. You can visit the Mars Artifact site to see the images. There appears to be this large cat, another figure. We talk about that all the time, about our imaginations and things. It looks to me like a large puma. This was interesting because it was cut off. The back end of this cat was a cut off frame, and I thought, well, you know, it was Tom Van Flandert who suggested something like this. Of course, he's my mentor, and he, I said, hey, you know, I should be able to predict features out of frame. If this thing really is a cat, then I should be able to draw the rest of it. And if we get some subsequent images, I've got a test with, you know, a priori here, business, and be able to, you know, if it's remotely like I drew, then it lends credence to my impression of a cat. I mean, sure enough, in some of the Themis images that came out later, the tail and all that business was there. Subsequent images, of course, it always kind of looks a little worse. But I thought it was a kind of a neat exercise, and I'm glad Johnny brought that up. That was kind of a neat thing to actually say, well, you know, I had a test for my impressions for what I saw, and the test came out positive. Because we're always struggling to apply some kind of, at least what we think scientific method is supposed to be, to this business, which is very hard. That was kind of a little success story for me. It was quite enjoyable, and I'm glad you asked about that.
Small world, isn't it?
The listeners out there, if they access your site, JP, they can actually see that on your website.
Yeah, I put that on there. Robert and I still have that's an old site. You know, if you can stand the ads always coming up all the time, so I don't have to pay for anything. It really is a good resource for a lot of that stuff going back years ago. My goodness, have I been doing this for 15 years?
That goes by fast, doesn't
wow.
it?
Wow.
Is Johnny Danger still there?
He is not.
Oh, too bad.
Well, if you're out there, Johnny, send me an email. There's some stuff I'd like to talk to you about.
And they can do that through your websites?
Yeah. Sorry, I missed him to talk to him after. I guess he hung up after his question.
Let's go to Don in Salem, Oregon. Get Don in before the break. Go ahead, Donald.
Hi, guys. John, you're talking about, nuclear warfare on Mars. And I'm sure you remember the movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
You know, where they warned us about that stuff. But, you know, George, you were talking a while back about the lava tubes and the caves underground on the surface of Mars. Mm-hmm. And you just, it makes a body wonder, you know, what kind of life is, under there and thriving. And I thank you guys. You all have a good night.
Okay, very good. Well, who knows what's under there? Nobody knows for sure, do we? Nobody knows for sure.
We won't know until we go there.
That's right. So when you present this paper, you do it, what, next week?
Yes, next, I think, Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. It's Dr. Horace Crater what an honor to have him present the paper for us. He's one of the co-authors. What an opportunity lost. Our school was going to send me, but I was still unable to attend the conference. It was a lost opportunity to finally meet Horace face-to-face after all the work he and I have done together over the years. I won't be there, but Dr. Crater will be presenting our paper that Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, I believe.
Okay, my friends, both of you, and let's get your websites out. Start with you, JP.
Yeah, I've got marsartifacts.tripod.com, and it's kind of an old site, but it's a pretty good resource for people. I have a pretty neat little animated GIF there that puts the profile image in different perspectives. You know, it's kind of like you're moving around it a little bit using a shape from shading software that's kind of fun to watch. I'd recommend looking at that if you're interested in this.
Okay, George, and we've got your website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Thanks to both of you. Fascinating. We will wrap up our Mars program tonight with Dr. Michael Salas on Coast to Coast AM.